And for those stuck with me, I apologize for KPTZ. Thank you for broadcasting this Zoom breakout session. We have very near 100 people with us right now.
If you're just joining us, you're tuned to KPTZ in Port Townsend.
This okay. is the I'm assuming that everybody who wanted to join a breakout room has done that. If you haven't, you can select that room. Otherwise, you are stuck with me, and I will dutifully scribe, even though this is being recorded. So if I miss a point, I will come back to the video. Does anybody want to kick us off with a perspective or?
I'll do that.
Thanks, Forrest. Go ahead.
Let me begin by saying that I was the chairman of the Parks Board in 1984 when the Kaitai Lagoon Park was designated. And the trees, of course, were not nearly as tall then, and I don't think that people had quite the attachment to them that they do now. But basically, we're all kind of reacting to something that was done by one man 60 years ago, and he didn't have a lot of options for nursery material in those days. He certainly did the expedient thing, and I think we're probably all appreciative that he did that. But now we have a chance to put a new signature on the way that the community appears to people arriving here. Many of us came down that S-curve and fell in love with Port Townsend, and the vista keeps changing. So I'd like to see it greener. That means more evergreens in evidence. I'd like to see it more native because that honors the heritage, which at the other end of Sims Way or Water Street is the totem pole. So it kind of unifies the theme that we're all guests here on Squalum territory. I also would like to see diversity of trees, not just one tree. And I'd like to see more spreading trees, which will do more to, like, for example, trap trash that blows out of the boat haven across the street and often wanders into the park. So lower growing trees and native shrubs that are 6 to 12 feet high will do that job really well and also insulate the park from dust, traffic noise, and other intrusions.
Thank you, Forrest, appreciate that. Anyone else has a perspective that they'd like to share here?
Yes, I would.
Go for it.
Yeah, my name is Andrea Hegland, and I have grown up in this area. And I must say, I'm absolutely shocked that this project evolved, it sounds like, just this past summer. And it appears to me there's been very little public input and awareness, including longtime Port Townsend residents. And I have to say that we can do better than that. That is not who we are. I've been here a long time. I grew up on the Olympic and Kitsap Peninsulas, and that is just not the way we should be. And I'm unhappy with tonight's meeting as well. It's not the same as the face-to-face meeting or a hearing where we can all hear different perspectives all together.
Thanks, Andrea. I
have more to say.
Yeah.
I just have a couple more things to say. Please give me a chance to speak. I would like to say that these trees have a significant historic and cultural component to our community. They are older than the Washington State Department of Transportation. The DOT may have their tree standard for their streets, but then we all look like a DOT street. And we are better than that. We can do something better than that. And the other point that I'd like to make is that we're not considering the significant part of these trees that is underground. The mycorrhizal we're learning more and more every day is fantastic, is huge. And I believe, and I follow climate change, I believe that these trees are going to be more resilient because of their mycorrhizal. If you plant a new tree, it's probably not going to have enough time to build that community. And I resent the fact that I've seen in material that someone, the city or someone planted some fir trees alongside the poplars And then they characterize it as the poplars are a detriment to those fir trees getting enough water or whatever. And portraying
those. Can you wrap it up just so we can give other people a chance to speak as well?
I'm almost done. Portraying them in a bad light. I agree with the phasing. I'd like to see more public involvement. I'd like to see a design charrette. I think that the safety is paramount, but let's work around that and let's get something here that's a win-win for everybody and not a project that feels like it's rammed down our throats. Thank you.
Thank you, Andrea. Who else would like to share some perspectives here? Debbie.
I, excuse me, I would just like to second everything Forrest said and point out that all of the natives that were planted at Katai were part of a 1986 plan approved by the city. And there are natives that are pushed in because they can't spread because of the poplars. And on the Katai side, those natives are ready to be seen. So I support everything that Forrest said about what we need to do. Thank you.
Thank you, Debbie. Who else has a perspective they'd like to share? Hi, Carol. If you can get that mute button, we're good to go.
Okay, thank you. I understand and appreciate and honor the passion of the people who love the poplars and love the vista as we enter town. And I also understand how critical it is that that there's safety along that corridor. And also that what matters now in our time of climate change is really trying to put our native trees into this landscape because of what that brings to our environment. So I, again, would echo what Forrest has to say. I feel like this is an opportunity. And while it may take more time and community involvement to come to the right place, I think we can make something really beautiful that really honors the entry into town with our native plants. I'm sure someone will correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm wondering why among those native things couldn't be rhododendrons as we come into our town.
Thank you, Commissioner-elect. Carol, I see Lauren McConnell has a hand up. So Lauren, do you want to go ahead?
Sure, thank you. I support the project. When I first heard about it, I got nervous because I like the trees, but I really support the idea of planting natives and, including maybe rhododendrons. The only thing I wanted to bring up is that I hope that in the planning, there will be enough visibility so that people can actually see into the boatyard, because I think it's really fun and interesting to walk by there. And I would hate to have it be so densely covered that people couldn't see that anymore. I think it's actually a huge draw for the city. It's so interesting to see people working on those boats.
Thank you, Lauren. I can only see one screen at a time. So if you do have the little button that says hand raise, go for it. Otherwise, I'll look to your face or your hand if anybody wants to add another perspective. Otherwise, there's someone I do want to hear from a little bit, if that's appropriate. And that's Mayor Sandoval's with us. So Mayor Sandoval, can I put you on the spot and just appreciate that you're here with us tonight? One of many evening meetings that you get to attend every week.
I really appreciate everybody being here. And, it's always interesting. What I like to say about Port Townsend is public process is always best after decisions are nearly made, because people don't pay attention and we get accused of not having enough public process. And, but of course, if you're on Facebook, there's lots of public process, according to people on Facebook, because they all interact with each other. And the last couple of columns I've written is about, please, people, I so appreciate the passion that everybody's showing, but you do need to pay attention. A democracy is not, you need to be involved. And there are many people that do attend our meetings and do attend the subcommittee meetings and the county meetings and the port, et cetera. And it's so difficult right now because of COVID and because everything's on Zoom and it's so uncomfortable and I don't like it. But we will have public, continuing public engagement, but I just think it's difficult right now. But I do want to say that I appreciate the perspective of past Parks commissioners, as well as and Parks and Trees, as well as current. And that is that we have fallen in love with something that is there, but it wasn't necessarily a public process that got those poplars there. And so we have an opportunity to actually engage in a public process that creates the future. And I would encourage all of you to stay involved with that. And I really, truly appreciate everybody being here and taking time out of their evening to participate. And I see Mark's waving. Are you, Mark, are you trying to make a comment, Mark McCulley?
Yeah, I would like to say my first exposure to Port Townsend was about 4.5 years ago. And one of the things I liked about the town were those poplar trees. And now I'm the county executive and we have John Morrow, who's been here for 2 years, Aaron Berg, who's been here for about two, and Kevin, I'm sorry, but I don't know how long you've been the general manager for the PUD. So we're all four of the executives are relatively new. And, you know, here we are proposing to whack those trees down. And it hurts me to propose that, but the arguments in favor of doing it are profound and very, very legitimate. And as hard as it may be for a community to change an iconic symbol of the community, in this case, it's completely and totally necessary. And So as much as I hate to say I support it completely.
Thanks, Mark. Look, I recognize I really am grateful for a group here that can hold very different opinions in the same room and speak kindly to each other. We're going to get a chance to do that in a few more seconds when we bring everybody back. So I'm just going to let you, you're going to be here, but I'm going to bring them back into this room to join us from the other breakout rooms. While we wait, I'll just let you know that we'll just get some high points from each group as summary, so we could learn as much as we can about the dialogue in four different rooms. I've got another poll for you. We had promised that 6 o'clock would be where we'd end, but I suspect that there are a few who might want to hang around a little longer, so I'm happy to do that. Okay, welcome back to the other groups as you filter back in. All right, let's make sure that we all learn as much as we can about the conversations that happened in the other room. So can we just do a quick round robin summary, much like last time? Aaron Berg, can you just give us a summary of your room?
Yeah, just a few quick comments. One, this will be a major shock to the community and a desire to see local arborists and landscapers engaged to develop some options that the community can review and consider. Another recognition that a willingness to swap the tall, skinny trees for bike paths and additional port property, appreciated the need for safety, understands the need for more space in the yard. There's excitement about the Larry Scott trailhead improvement, questions about the jobs and economic impact, the Port Townsend Marine Trades Association study. We can put a link on our website to that for anybody who's interested, or email me and I'll send you the link. Another question about the Larry Scott Trail realignment and concern about losing the existing trail. That is not part of our proposal. And finally, a question about tree removal that was almost asked when the breakout room ended. I believe the concern was the tree removal would happen next month. And I do not think that's the case. My expectation is that there will be some safety work done, but not tree removal in the next few weeks.
Thank you, Aaron. Over to Kevin Street at the PUD. What was the summary of your conversation?
We had two people in our breakout session and safety concern with the public walking along the trees we answered that question because we've de-energized that line for a short term that we can get in and do the work Aaron just mentioned in a couple weeks. And then we just talked about stray current and other issues associated with the port and some of the options we have with the underground cable. Thank you.
Thanks, Kevin. Steve King, what's the report from your room?
We had a good question about funding and timing, and that if there were any restrictions on the funding in terms of timing. Great point about making sure that we replace these trees in a high quality manner and that there are biases in our system, such as public bidding, that work against us in getting a high quality product. Some concern over the process and questions about how the public will be involved. Talked a little bit about Parks Board and developing alternatives in public forum. Some concern about why this process has already been decided and that it should be reversed. Some concern about the overall impact on climate change and removal of the trees. And then Council Member McKager was just really thankful for everybody's participation. And a couple comments about voting using a democracy type vote versus the representative type approach and the biases that are introduced when it's a democracy type vote and how it might miss some of the disadvantaged perspectives. So anyway, very good points, and I'm very thankful for the groups that attended.
Great. Thank you, Steve. My quick summary from the conversation was some statements by folks who had spent some time, I think two individuals who were either chair or served in the Parks, Recreation, Tree and Trail Advisory Board, and reflected on the kind of last minute decision 60 years ago, without very many nursery options and materials, to just do the right thing, which is to get trees in the ground. And we're enjoying that now, but there's a view from this individual that there could be a greener, more evergreen, more native, different signature placed on the gateway, as well as a nice balancing to the cultural heritage at the other side of Sims Way, exemplified by the totem pole as a guest on Squallan territory. So that was echoed by a few others as well. There was an individual who was shocked about the process and pretty disappointed in this meeting itself, but I'm grateful that you still stuck it with us, so thank you. Talked about the significant cultural historical context here and had some perspectives about phasing a design charrette and understanding that safety is paramount, but that this is a big value issue for our community. I heard from a couple others about this being a very difficult decision, and that there's a preference to put native trees in the landscape, and perhaps rhododendrons. That came up twice. There's general support from another person speaking on natives, and also the increase in visibility into the boatyard. Mayor Sandoval spoke about these meetings and the time we're in quite compellingly. Look, I'll admit, this isn't the forum that we would dream of, but it's pretty much the best we can do in a pandemic, I think. So more about that in a bit. Mark McCauley spoke about, it's not, there's a number of us, including me, who are quite new to the community. To propose that the trees need to come out looks a bit callous and out of sync with community values. But there's a statement about the real very safety issues that, created this decision point. So that's a quick summary of our group. I'll note to everybody that it's now 6:03. And so I know that KPTZ has been generous to continue broadcasting. So for those who want to bow out, you can do that anytime. You could jump off. I will say before you jump off, though, that this will not be the last opportunity we have to hear what you have to say. So please stay involved if you can't continue with us this evening. I'm going to put out a couple of quick polls so that we can get a better sense of where people's minds are at here. And then we'll continue the conversation. So the first one is just to get a sense of level of support for this, and if this town hall format, given all the caveats, was useful or not. I'll do that one now. So if you can find a button on a screen, please select yes, no, or unsure to each of those questions. I'll pause for about 30 seconds while you do so. And while I do that, thank you also for those listening and 91.9 KPTZ and to Tim Quackenbush personally for him sitting in the chair this evening. Thank you, Tim.
Yeah, John, you got the polling down to a science, so good job.
Okay. Well, look, I'll give you a couple seconds left here to end that poll. We got 57, 58 people, a pretty good majority of us, so thank you. I'll close that now, and then we'll quickly go to another poll. Let me just make sure I can capture the results first. And then the next one really is how you want to keep in touch. So I guess there are two questions. One, do you want to remain involved or informed? Yes or no? And then we're trying to figure out as a group of four agencies how best to keep people informed. So apologies for this being a little city-centric because we're hosting the Zoom call, but the city Facebook page, a website, other agency websites, another town hall like this. If I made it a write-in answer, it would make it unable for a lot of you to participate. So if you have other ideas, please get in direct touch with me or any of the other agencies here. I could be reached at jmauro@cityofpt.us. We'll keep that poll open for just another few moments. And hand over heart, we really want to make sure that we connect with where people are. So I think that's why we want to ask how we focus our energies and where we communicate on this. Okay, most folks have participated in the keeping in touch poll, so I'm going to close that down now. Thank you. And anybody who wants to bow out at 6 o'clock, again, we can keep going. So instead of breakout rooms, this is now a group of 65 people having a conversation. I don't have a plan for now except to stick around. So one person at a time doesn't yield a lot of dialogue. You could stick around and we can go into breakout rooms or take suggestions from anybody here. Before I do, and before anybody does leave, I do want to shout out to all the elected officials who are with us tonight. It's quite a large group of our elected leaders from the region at the port, the county, the PUD, and the city. And so I'm very grateful that you are here this evening. So with that, we've got still about 64 people. Should we go breakout rooms? Maybe thumbs up visually. Should we continue in the large forum? Should have taken another poll. Any suggestions? Well, why don't we start? And if I'm talking over each other,
John, I have a suggestion.
There you go, Mayor Sandoval.
It's really interesting because there are people that are adamant against this. And so I understand that passion, but I would ask them for their suggestions in regard to the realities that we know. So given the realities that we know about the arcing, that we know about the setbacks that are going to be required, about the lifeline, the length of life of poplars in general, the fact that the Gateway Project actually considers replanting, all of those realities, and yet they're still adamantly opposed to this, and they're saying it should be a vote of the people instead of representative government. So what would they do in a decision maker's seat?
That's great. I'll just a vote or a representation of how to move forward from those who think this should not move forward is a great question for Mayor Sandoval. And then I noticed Bo is very polite putting a hand up, so we'll go there next. Any thoughts on those who oppose the project with suggestions on how to move forward as best we can?
Hey, John, this is Jeff Randall of the PUD. There's a question I think that people are asking, why can't the power just be undergrounded and leave the trees alone? That maybe should be addressed.
Yeah, I'm wondering, I think Commissioner Randall, you or Kevin Street are probably one of the best people to handle that.
That was the question I asked at the PIF meeting because I wanted to know if that was a possibility.
Right. Kevin, are you still on the line?
Yeah, and the PUD has some experience digging along these trees. approximately 4 years ago, the PUD dug a very shallow trench for some electrical cable and some fiber optic cable. And we stayed away from the tree approximately 15 feet. And when we did this trench, five of the trees along the part we trenched lost their leaves, started to die, just because we were trenching in that, it's a very sandy, sandy soil. This was a shallow, small trench. We would have to put the power line in about the same place. It's on the roadside from the trees. And by the time we would dig the deep trench and the wide trench, we feel that a lot of these trees would die because of that. So then we're liable for all the trees. Not only would some die, but some would get sick, and then we're afraid during the windstorms they would come over. So really, with the age of the trees, how the trees are, their health right now, it really does make it very problematic to do anything other than removal at this stage of their life. It's a sad thing to see them go, but it does, it causes us a problem.
Hey, Kevin, there's some follow-up questions. One, why not reroute the power lines away from the trees? I'm assuming on some other alignment, or why not bury the power lines under the road?
I'll give you 30 seconds to think about that, Kevin. If I ask folks who are not speaking just to mute yourself, I'm getting a lot of background noise from folks who might be offering that into the conversation. Otherwise, I can mute everybody. Go ahead, Kevin. Sorry.
We could reroute the trees. It doesn't take into consideration, though, the trees still are going to be a danger for the port and for others. So it's not only the PUD that has some issues with the trees. It's they've outlived their useful life. And it's not only the trees above ground. The roots have come in and caused damage to some of the properties on the port. So I can take questions.
Hey, Kevin, is it a simple thing, though, to, you just made it sound like we could reroute the power some other way. Is that a very, how feasible is that, finding another alignment to connect our substations together with transmission?
So it has to go down the same, you're on one side of the road or the other. So if you're on the other side of the road, you have the lagoon you have to deal with and the trees there. If you're on the port side, it's a better alignment, I believe, for the PUD power lines. It if we work together, it just lets the community come together, even though we lose these trees, to put a new type of tree and a new path and stuff to move forward. So ideally it would stay close to the same alignment, but you know, yes, we could reroute. You got a lot more expenses, a lot more costs involved with that, and you don't get an end product where we all benefit from it.
Well, I think it's important to note the reroute scenario doesn't include the economic development component, so it becomes a much more challenging project to fund because there's no yard expansion. I'm getting a lot of feedback.
Yeah, I'm going to propose that I'm going to mute everybody with apologies, because there's one person who's just not quite got it. And then I know Bo and then Alita and then Phil actually had their hands up. So thanks for your courtesy. We'll start with that. So you'll need to unmute yourself, Bo. My apologies.
All right. Thank you very much. And I wanted to respond to Michelle Sandoval's point. I've known Michelle for a long time and respect her opinion and what she's done for the city. However, I think in this case, the process has not been very well done. And a number of us who would have been participants early on were surprised by this. The second thing I would say is that Wayne Blyer made the comment that it looked like it was a situation where some money was available and we decided we would do something because we had it. And now everybody's chimed in and it looks like a wonderful project because everyone theoretically will benefit from it. But it starts with something that a number of us are concerned about, which are these trees And just because a tree has an average lifespan of X number of years doesn't mean they're going to die. That lifespan is reached just like humans. So I think that's maybe a false thing. The other thing I'm a little concerned about is we have people making these decisions. I'm not sure a forester has been hired to look at these trees and tell me what their expectancy is for continued life. You know, I just think the process has been flawed. And I have to say that I don't think it should be a done deal. And I'm willing to personally have my foundation throw a wrench in the process if we can't get together better. Thank you.
Thanks, Bo. I think that's the spirit of which we're gathering here today, to make sure that there is a process where the risk of, you know, some significant safety hazards are woven into the conversation. But we'll definitely take that on board. Alita, do you want to say something?
Two things. One is, have you looked into trimming the trees heavily? I assume you have. And the second thing is, we all lived through that heat wave last summer. And as a person who grows plants, it was very hard to keep plants alive, especially new plants. So I just wanted to offer that what a challenging time it is to try to have a brand new growth really flourish. And it's amazing to me to see how well the poplars withstand those things like heat waves, and they'd probably survive sea level rise. So I'm just tossing that out there, and I appreciate you guys having the meeting. So thanks.
Thank you for your thoughts. Phil, why don't you go ahead?
Thanks. I just got to the meeting. I had another meeting ahead of this one, so I've missed most of what other people have said. I gather there's been a lot of talk about trees, but what I want to talk about is the expansion of the port property. I saw an artist rendition in The Leader, which showed a wall next to a sidewalk that was very close proximity to the road. And I'm questioning why you would expand what is basically an industrial zone into the entryway of our town, when I think the strip of land there would be better used as a green belt to kind of hide the port property from the highway. I'm wondering if the port has even, I mean, it's a long, narrow strip of land that they would be gaining. Has the port even drawn a map to show whether there would be additional places to put boats if they had that strip of property? I can't imagine that it would be an easy thing to do. So maybe somebody from the port could respond.
Thanks, Phil. Go ahead, Aaron or Commissioner.
Yeah, sure, Phil. So it wouldn't create a new row of boats. It would allow for the existing row along Sims Way, which is currently about 30 vessels, to accommodate longer boats. So right now we max out at about 40 feet there. We could go closer to 65 feet, and or we could double stack in that vicinity with a pair of 30s. So it's not super complicated to lay out. It's really just more length. Although I will back up, and I don't know if you heard at the very beginning, with a 30-foot setback from the existing lines, if we don't do anything with the lines, we lose about half of that front row of vessels to our new understanding of the power line setback. So there's really two fronts here. One is defending against loss of the front row, anywhere from about 15 to 20 feet, based upon our current yard configuration. And then secondly, the growth by about 20 feet out. So it's really a two-part approach.
Is there any plan for remediation of the zinc problem from the chain link fence?
Well, we don't plan to put one of those back. We're imagining something much more pleasing than chain link. And separate from this project, the port's got a $2.7 million stormwater project that it's launching really any week now. And we will reimagine how boatyard stormwater is collected and treated before being discharged, and zinc along with copper being two of the primary contaminants that we are seeking to keep out of the waters of the state.
I see. Right now there's a gap in the fence, so people using the boatyard can cross the street to go to the hardware store. Is that going to remain?
I think that's an important gap. Yeah, so the purpose of our fence in the future is not a security fence. You know, as you know, now it's a chain link with barbed wire. We're imagining more a property defining fence as opposed to a security fence. And so, yeah, I think people got to be able to get over to Henry's to buy their goods and get back to the yard and go to work.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you, Phil. I see Charles has his hand up. Charles, you want to go ahead?
Thank you, John. You know, I was talking about carbon sequestration. I get that word kind of messed up, but I did realize, and I didn't really actually think about what the lady just said just a couple of minutes ago at. Our problem here is long term, and we're trying a short term solution. If we planted new trees in the climate that we're having now, this hotter and drier climate in the summer, to keep those trees and our investment in those new trees, it would require gallons upon gallons of water. And with our water situation as it is, I don't think we have the ability to nurture these new trees as they should be. So I think that's something else we have to put in the equation. If we plant new trees, if they're going to survive, we're going to have water. They're going to have nutrients. And in this climate that's changing rapidly to a hotter and drier situation, we have to think about that. Thank you.
Thank you, Charles. Appreciate your comments. That's why it was part of the poll at the outset. I see that Julie has her hand up, and then we'll go to Pete.
Hi, can you hear me?
Loud and clear.
Okay, good. This is sort of old news, but to me, it's one of the most valuable parts of the whole process, and that is to understand the functions that, in this case, these poplars have provided for us, and their kind of historic function post-Dust Bowl all across the United States. In this case, they provide an incredible windbreak for what comes up off the bay, which is a very big deal, as you well know. And so whatever new is put there needs to be able to help with that windbreak. Otherwise, we're imposing a whole new system across the lagoon, and I don't know how it will impact, but it's a huge deal to have a windbreak there, as well as to have the filtration that those poplars provide, both air and water filtration, including the roadway runoff, entire pollution that comes up off those roads. Those poplars filter tremendous amounts of pollutants before that water gets in the bay. There is no downstream from the poplars that needs that water. So that's a big function, besides all the beauty and the other things that we know well about. So those functions are not calculated in dollars and cents, but if indeed you're willing to go forward with some kind of a landscape plan that includes the public and other professionals besides your staff, I think and I hope that these will be taken into consideration as we go forward I think this climate shifting and water needs of something new is a very big deal. So these trees function in this fill. This is all dredge fill, which makes them even more amazing. Okay, those are just...
Thank you. Thank you, Julie. I'm going to do two things before we go to Pete. One is I literally just got an email saying that they were disappointed we did not put out the phone number on live broadcast on KPTZ. So I will do that now. You can call in at 253-215-8782. I will repeat that for those wanting to jump in here by phone. It's 253-215-8782. Otherwise, you can obviously listen from KPTZ. So thank you for doing so. Pete Langley.
Thanks, John. Just got a couple of comments. One is to bring back some of the history where I think it was Bo who mentioned about securing or site screening the Boat Haven. At one point in time, the ferry service was going to put the holding parking lot for all the ferry terminal along that stretch. They had proposed taking the trees out and eliminating that. So that's one of the reasons why the setback and the port didn't move further out into the area some time ago. The second is the aquifer in that area in places and at times of the year is less than 6 feet deep. I can go back to the original time with my lease in the Boat Haven. I installed all the underground power. You couldn't dig a hole for a power pole without it flooding at high tide. So what that tells me for the trees and for the arborist people in thinking about what's going back is we got to think about saltwater intrusion. We need to make sure that they can survive that impact. The other is then trying to, again, being a marine tradesperson, obviously maximizing our square footage at the port is very important for those jobs. But we don't want to do it at the sacrifice of what the aesthetics might be in that area. So I think there's a few things to keep out on the table and know that if we look back at our own history, we'll see that things would have been a lot different. A lot of people don't remember that High Tide Lagoon did belong to the port. And at some point in sea level rise, it may become part of the port again. And we should be looking towards that at the future. And so I would think if there is an alternative route, that might be one of the things we talked about in the port's offset and or I think the PUD considered if there is another route to where to bury those lines or to bring it into the Kearney Street Station, we may want to look at that. Because the my real concern is economic impact from a project that may get too far along before the real engineering estimates get put onto hard paper and we go so far over budget, we can't complete in an economic downturn, which we may be seeing coming up. Thank you.
Thank you, Pete. Thanks for being here. Other folks want to put their hand up. Maybe now is a good time to at least, I'll go to Judah in just 1 second, just acknowledge that we're still on KPTZ with Tim Quackenbush and the great team at KPTZ 91.9. I believe the broadcast there will last for another 2 minutes. So thank you for all those who joined us on the radio. Now over to Judah. You're gonna have to unmute yourself though first.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. I was wondering, since it's very important, it's part of the conversation about how dangerous those trees are. Is there any evidence of those trees being any more dangerous than firs or cedars or any other tree here in Port Townsend? Is there hardcore evidence of more strikes from poplars, for instance, than any other tree?
Thanks, Judah. Good question. I might not be the most qualified one to answer that, but I can say that indeed there are differences in trees' abilities to withstand. So is there somebody, I'm thinking about the Parks Tree Recreation Trails Advisory Board. There are a couple members here there. They've talked about this in that advisory body a few times at least. So
I mean, actual evidence, like people seeking care because they've been struck by those poplars as opposed to any other tree, say in the fort.
I don't have that offhand except for the two examples that Aaron Berg used earlier where there was literal feeling of conductivity to a port employee as well as a mast hit on the high transmission power line, which could have caused in any other circumstance a fatality. So that's another corresponding factor.
People Aaron with phones don't have a hand to raise
okay.
on the Zoom.
Okay, I see that number and I hear your voice. I'm going to just make sure that we can answer that previous question, thank KPTZ, and then go to Jason and then to you. So Aaron, did you have something you wanted to say?
Yeah, just with regard to the comparison of tree species, I think we would be fairly agnostic.
You have been tuned to the Sims Gateway Project Town Hall hosted by all of our local governmental agencies. A special thank you to John Morrow, Port Townsend City Manager, the Port of Port Townsend, the County of Jefferson County. It's part of our commitment to public affairs here at KPTZ to air the these discussions. Not always the easiest thing to do on Zoom, but stay tuned. KPTZ Bioneers is coming up next.